if you are located outside of the European Union, the United Kingdom and or Switzerland, then you need an authorized representative. So, I have a good news. You have found it with Easy Medical Device. And if you are also in need of an importer in Europe and in Switzerland, then contact us definitely at info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com, and I'm sure we can help you. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. I am Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market. For that, I share with you my experience and the one of others on this podcast. Are you ready for your dose of regulation and standards today? Okay, so let the show begin. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. Here is Mounir Elazouzi from easymedicaldevice.com. And today we'll help you to make your surveys the right way, because we talk a lot of time about surveys. And I think sometimes there are some misunderstanding of what is a survey or how to collect data from the patients or from the people that you are asking for information there. And for that, I have with me Cesare Magri from For Better Devices. So hi, Cesare, welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast.
Hi, Mounir. Thanks a lot for having me here today.
Yeah. So I saw some posts about what you have written on LinkedIn about surveys. I will put them on the show notes so that people can look at that. And yeah, we were discussing a lot about what is a survey first, and a lot of people are starting now to say, oh, I will have to create a survey to discuss, to contact with my customer. So what I wanted today to do is mainly to try to explain to people how to do surveys the right way. So mainly to find mm-hmm. out some traps or some tips or how to use that. But before to do that, so can you just maybe explain again what is a survey, or and, mm-hmm. and if it's new, if is it new with MDR, or it's something that was already existing a long time ago?
I mean, surveys have existed since marketing. I think it's been there, and I said it's an old concept. And indeed, I looked for the definition of it, and the only thing I could find is from ISO 20252, which is a market opinion and social research. Which does not provide too much of an explanation. It says it's a collection from a sample of a target population to which inferences can be made. So honestly, it doesn't explain too much. It's like it's a data collection somehow. I think that in the common use in the language, when you say survey, what you mean is that you go to somebody and ask them directly questions. Okay, so that also is maybe one of the difference when you think of studies or investigation. The data are mediated by somebody. There is a doctor that collects studies. Instead, with survey, you go to the patient, you go to the user, you go to somebody, and you ask them questions, and they reply directly. And usually, that's the term that is associated to this word, the meaning associated to this word.
So under MDR or under the regulations mainly, is there a moment that where MDR says you need to use surveys and you need to have surveys and this is the law to make surveys, or?
No, I mean, there's no specific article concerning surveys. They are referenced in the part on PMCF, PMS, but where they really pop out is in the MDCG guideline. I think it's the 2026.
Yeah.
On the level of evidence of legacy devices, the final part, where they introduce in this classification of the level of evidence, this level 8 and level 4, I think. And they have high level survey and low level survey. And while I think it's comprehensible what they wanted to say, it also has introduced quite some confusion. So what they exactly meant there with this terminology.
So when we say levels of survey, you said level 4, level 8, etc. So what is there a high quality survey, something that is better than another, or is there different levels of survey, or we have just one level of survey?
Well, I mean, obviously you can do surveys completely unprepared and just go and with a microphone, ask questions to people, or just a piece of paper and note down what they say, that there would be an unstructured survey. Most surveys typically are planned, and they have a structure and a goal and a way in which you collect data. But the big point in this classification is not so much the modality through which you want to collect the data. So both there are surveys, both you go and ask questions. It's more about what you ask. So it's actually the content of the questions. And depending on the content of the question, you can make it a survey that actually provides you data that can be used for demonstrating the performance and safety of your device, and hence, by definition of the MDR, a clinical investigation. So there is sometimes this feeling, oh, I'm dealing with a survey that cannot be, it's a different word. It cannot be a clinical investigation, so therefore it's something different. While survey is the type of data collection, and the type of data that you collect defines whether that could be a clinical investigation or not. And these level four surveys are obviously the one that tend, in let's say, in the mass big majority of cases, to fall under clinical investigation.
Exactly. And so yeah, we have, as you said, those levels. Notified bodies, do they care about those things, those levels, or which level you are choosing, or how you are making that?
Yeah. I mean, so it's important to be able to classify the clinical evidence in levels, because especially for class 3 device, the guidance says only, so you have to have at least levels 4 on and above. So it is quite important. But I mean, what they notified body mostly collect is the type of data that you collected and what this data can tell you. So if if you can use this data to demonstrate the clinical benefit or a clinical safety or the clinical performance of the device, so this is automatically becoming a clinical evaluation, a clinical investigation, sorry. And this means that it must be the appropriate type of data that you can use based on your state of the art for demonstrating the acceptability of your benefit risk profile. This is the logic. So they will treat it essentially as data coming from a clinical investigation, probably of lesser quality than an randomized controlled trial or a higher source of a higher structured study.
So when we talk about survey with some manufacturers, they already said to us, oh yeah, yes, we are doing that. We have our marketing department that is sending a survey every year, etc. So are we talking about the same thing here?
Well, I mean, we are talking about the same modality for collecting the data, which is a survey. So it is direct question, but survey can also be a marketing survey, which is a purely marketing, so it doesn't have to. It doesn't fall at all in the domain of clinical investigation, and you will most likely not be able to use this data to demonstrate the performance and safety of your device. This doesn't mean that the data is useless. Actually, so you might go actually for marketing. It can be super important. You can survey the satisfaction with your device on the market, but asking to somebody, or even a patient, are you satisfied with the device, does not provide you an outcome that you can use to demonstrate the clinical performance of safety of your device. And I mean, this is for marketing, but you can do it for loads of different reasons. I mean, to investigate where to sell your device, where there is more need. You can also do surveys that are not even related to a specific device, that's just to explore a specific market. So these are all surveys, just based on the questions that they have, they will fall under marketing or a clinical service, let's say so. And there is also a type of survey that, let's call it PMCF, that's also pretty interesting, which is a PMC, let's say the level 8, which wouldn't be the high level survey that you can use for demonstrating the performance and safety, but it can still be a sounding survey, a survey for identifying problems on the market. So suppose you ask the question to a user, to a doctor, healthcare professional, do you find the performance of my device to be comparable of that of similar devices that you've used? So that's a very good question for PMCF. You can that they won't give you data related to a patient, but they will give you an overview of their experience, you know, and or you can ask them, did you identify some issues associated with my device? That's also a super feedback for PMCF, but it's not something on which you can build to actually demonstrate something for the clinical evaluation.
Yeah, because here, if I remember on reading your post, you make a distinction between patient survey and user survey, where you say patient survey, then you can collect clinical data because the patient is the one that is experiencing the device and maybe is seeing the change that is happening with the device. But the user is, okay, I have maybe a surgeon that has installed the device on the patient, but is not feeling the same as the patient. He said, yeah, I installed it, it was correct, the usability is okay, it was smooth, everything, but does it work correctly?
Exactly.
It's the patient who knows that better. So this is the distinction that you are really making on that.
Exactly. So if you survey a user, a healthcare professional, you're not allowed to ask them, but what did patient XYZ experience? You can ask them about the overall satisfaction of their patient. So did you notice an improvement in patients who are using our device? That would be this high level overview, but you cannot ask about specific patient data. If you want to survey, not in a survey, you want to do a clinical investigation for that, so a clinical study. If you want to survey patient data, you can try to collect data directly from the patient. That would be a patient survey. And typically you would do it through validated questionnaires that have been shown to reflect some specific clinical parameter. And then you can ask them really questions related that you can use for showing, okay, I can achieve this health benefit, I can achieve pain reduction, you know, and while the number of, you can ask about side effects, you want to show a skin irritation, did you experience skin irritation? Yes, no, you can do a statistic on that. But at the same time, you can also have patient surveys that are not clinical. You can also ask patient, do you like the color of the device? Just, you know, this is a marketing question. Or are you overall satisfied with the device? That will not be a clinical question, because you cannot use the output of that question to demonstrate the performance of your device. No notified body will accept that you show the performance of your device because the patients are very satisfied with it. I mean, take homeopathy. Many people are satisfied, but there's no demonstrated effect. Yeah?
Exactly, so, yeah. So now if we want to try to advise also people on how to create those surveys, so what would be your strategy? Because you said also, when you mentioned that, you said that it should be a validated questions and everything. Mm-hmm. So what would be the step-by-step way that people have to follow to create those surveys and to make them valid for notified body? Because as you said, yeah, the notified body will look at that and say, guys, this provides no information at all. So what are the questions to ask and where to source those questions, or how to select those questions?
Hey, just a second. Do you need an EU, Swiss or UK representative? Then choose Easy Medical Device. We can represent you and also become your importer. Contact us at eo@easymedicaldevice.com.
As many things in the clinical evaluation, most of it starts with the state-of-the-art analysis. So if you're lucky enough that your state-of-the-art analysis show that the relevant parameters for demonstrating the patient and the safety can be collected directly through patient outcomes, through outcomes that you can ask the patient about with a standardized questionnaire. There's the PASI for psoriasis, SPADI for shoulder problems. You know, there are so many of them. Then you're in the position of saying, okay, I'm going to try to show the effectiveness of my device through a questionnaire. I don't have to collect something, some sample from the patient, or I don't need the doctor intermediation for that. I can take this tool, it's validated, I present it in its validated form, and I can then answer specific question. And the procedure from doing that, then it's like with any clinical investigation, you have to follow the 14.155,
yeah,
and you have to create a clinical investigation plan, and this plan a statistical analysis, have a report, and then you can include this in your clinical investigation. And the starting point for this information is the state-of-the-art analysis. And sorry.
So, state of the art. Mainly we are doing clinical evaluation. So, is it the same state of the art as the one in the clinical evaluation? It's
It's the
you don't
same
need to do
state of
another
the art.
one or whatever.
No, it's the same state of the art that you use for the clinical evaluation. It will allow, for example, let's make the example of psoriasis, the standardized outcome parameter for assessing the status of the patient is the PASI. There is a patient version of it. You can present this patient PASI in an app or in another format to the patient and ask for this outcome directly without having a doctor doing it. Obviously, the fact that there is no healthcare professional involved increases the unreliability of the data. So the data from the survey tend to be less reliable. Said bluntly, I mean, patient could lie, okay, or they might not understand exactly the questions. So when you have an intermediary, you have more guarantee, let's say, on the quality of the output. But
Exactly.
it's possible, and it's the state-of-the-art analysis that will tell you that for psoriasis, the PASI score patient version is a relevant outcome to assess the condition.
Okay, right. Next step.
One comment: there is also, I think, some confusion related to the retrospective versus prospective
Yeah.
survey. So the idea is the concept of retrospective prospective actually applies to the studies in general. So whatever data collection, so a retrospective data collection is as a data analysis, let's say, it's a data analysis in which you use data that have been collected separately, independently of the purpose of your study. So there is a database that somebody used, and you can take this data and try to use them for your analysis. And according to the MDR definition of clinical investigation, and also the MDCG 2021-6, I think, this type of data analysis, it's not a clinical investigation. So they do not require that you follow the procedure of clinical investigation for MDR. You just have to pay attention to potential GDPR issues. Creating a retrospective survey is not about going to the patient and asking the patient about the past. So that would still be a prospective survey. Survey typically tend to be prospective. So the idea is that you go and ask. So they tend to have this prospective characteristic. This doesn't mean that you cannot find a database of all surveys that have been already collected, and you use this data for doing further analysis. This is perfectly possible. The point is, because you don't have control on the type of data that has been collected, this decreases further the quality of the evidence. Let's say each step that separates you from a randomized control trial decreases essentially the level of evidence. And but it's fine. Depend You have to correlate this to the class of your device. If you have a class 2A device, you do it sensibly. You demonstrate things based on the state of the art. That's still a very good route to follow for the clinical evaluation.
Okay, then after that, after state of the art, what we are doing?
Once you have the state of the art, you define the clinical strategy, the clinical development plan. So once you have the clinical development plan, those are exactly the steps that you will put in the clinical development plan. You can say, okay, based on what I've found in the state of the art, if I want to demonstrate that my device can treat psoriasis or reduce the symptoms, I can use the PASI score to assess the effectiveness of my device. So this is a patient-reported outcome. I mean, there is the patient-reported outcome version. Then I'm gonna say, okay, I'm gonna plan a survey to do this. And if your device is already on the market, if it's a legacy device, then you don't need to ask for the authorization of this type of data collection, even if it would follow under the definition of clinical investigation. You just have to inform the authorities, and then you can start with your data collection. So it's a very convenient way of doing, and you save the money of involving clinics and doctors. So it's a I mean, I perfectly understand the appeal of it, and it's a very good tool. I think one has to really pay attention to draw this line. So And this line does not belong to the nomenclature survey. It belongs to the nomenclature, not in just the nomenclature, but to the type of data that I'm collecting. And one more comment on this, even concerning usability survey. I mean, you can survey the patient on usability, and there is this clause, this part of the 2021 60 MDCG, which you often discuss, where they say, okay, even a usability study could be a clinical investigation. What they mean there is not that every usability study is a clinical investigation. What they say is that they pay attention because you are doing a usability study. This doesn't mean that, sorry, these are my kids ringing. This doesn't mean that this is not at all a clinical, cannot be a clinical investigation. This depends on how you're going to perform this usability study. If you have to involve a patient and you have to do some burdensome procedure to prove the ergonomicity of your device, then that could even become a clinical investigation. So this is what they're trying to say. And the same thing with surveys. Just because it's a survey doesn't mean that it cannot be a clinical investigation. So pay attention on that.
Okay. So I think there is also the source that is about the risk management that we have maybe to take also to ask the right question. So, for example, if we have some residual risk, so should we include those residual risks also on the survey to collect data about those residual risks?
It's an interesting point. You could try to, so depending now on what this risk is, you can try to perform a survey on this to the user or the patient to identify if they have experienced this type of issues. So if the risk concretized in their case, and to then do a statistic to assess whether the probability that you had estimated for the risk management actually is compatible with the real world information. Pay attention again to side effects there. You run a bit the risk to
okay.
slip into again the clinical domain.
No, it's great. In terms of the establishment of a survey, so this is not the only option. You have the clinical investigation that you can do. You have maybe some registries that you can open. You can have a lot of things. So, but more when we talk with customers, they say, "Oh, we choose survey instead of the other." So, can you explain maybe why?
Well, I think it feels. I think it's a problem of a bit of fear sometimes. Also, it feels less threatening. Okay, so it's the word. It feels more comforting as a word. I'm just doing a survey. It's something easy. It feels like something that maybe you know you can just take a student, ask them, go and ask some questions, and then you get some data. And so it's comforting in this sense. Just the problem is that. If it's not thought well, there are two issues that they put quite some effort into creating a survey with the hope that this might solve many problems, also collect related to the data collection for the clinical investigation, and then in the end it's the wrong answers and the wrong questions and the wrong data and you cannot use them. That's one risk. And the other one is that actually they think, oh, we're doing just a simple marketing questionnaire. And then actually they are collecting clinical data. They use this clinical data in the clinical evaluation. And then the notified body asks, okay, but where is the ethics commission approval? And then that's the moment of, that's tough.
So there is also, I think, a question of, yeah, as you've said, we know more about that than the others, but there is also, I think, a question of financial question about this. So
yeah.
It's cheaper, I think, to do that than to start to make an investigation and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, not having to involve a clinic, not having to pay doctors, or it's cheaper for the direct cost that you might be involving is cheaper in the organization. You have to do less contracts. You know, it has many, many organizational advantages. Therefore, I mean, I think it's also a particular smart tool if you can use it in apps, for example, medical apps. Yeah? So
okay.
if you're what you're trying to work with can be assessed through validated questionnaires, and you can implement this validated questionnaire in your app, and you can ask patients to just click while they're using the app, that's a fantastic cheap way to to access data, maybe low quality one, but you might collect masses of it, so it could really give you a very good overview of what's going on in the field. So especially in the case, it's a super cheap way of accessing data with directly with your device. So why not? I'm absolutely a fan of it. Just one has to be able to set the boundaries properly.
So do you think like a notified body that is reviewing a technical file, it's a class 3 device, implantable, high risk, etc., like pacemaker, as soon as they see the methodology to gather real world data, where was the survey, cheap survey, as you said, do you think they will agree on that, or they will ask you no,
I think
no?
it will depend on the phase of the device. So I think if it's going to be for the pre-market evidence for a class 3 implantable device, they won't accept that. Plus, I mean, you wouldn't even be able to collect it really. So that wouldn't make particular sense once you have that kind of device and you want to do a pre-market clinical investigation. That's a type of study that you have to ask authorization for. It's a completely different path. But why not using it for a PMCF control? Why not asking specific questions to patients to control certain things? I mean, especially if you have the possibility to reach the masses through software or through other tools, then it can be a great tool. You can maybe reach many more patients than just a nurse or a doctor could call or reach in a follow-up and gather signals that might be very important for you to detect any problems on the market. Because that's also, and also with the non-clinical surveys, I think it's do not underestimate the possibility that they give to get triggers and signals from the market about problems. That's also very interesting. So just tell me if there if did you notice anything wrong? Did you notice an underperformance? You can ask them about this kind of things.
So, is there any kind of disadvantage of using surveys for your study?
Yeah, I mean, mainly it's the quality of the data. So
Okay.
I would say it is by definition then a lesser quality data. If I wonder also it might be possible to perform comparisons. You could provide service to different groups, but that makes it I mean it's a bit more complicated than if that we are a study. So it tends to be usually in most cases one group and that could be also a limitation. I'm not saying it's not possible,
Yeah.
but it's a bit more
Yeah, because
complicated.
as you said, Bill, previously you said that yeah, if we ask question to a user or to somebody, maybe they misunderstood the question, or to a patient, maybe they misunderstood the question. So then they will answer this when it's not really that, because they didn't really clearly understood that. So at the end, yeah, the quality is lower maybe, but you have more data because you have more people that are answering to that. So it's this is the limit where you have to find which what is best for you for that. But our notified bodies are looking at that also.
But also one thing. I mean, now we are speaking of servers that are really purely only servers, so you only go. But it's very common now in randomized controlled trial pre-market studies to mix. So you might have a part of a question to the user. They get their PROs. They report with through tablet, and then you get some visit at the doctor where they collect other parameters. So it's very common there to mix, and that's it is to add information on top of what you would do if that were just a clinical investigation. But in the pure survey where you they say the cheap one where you try to just call your contacts and ask for information, there are many things that might you have little control, let's say things. So there are many aspects that could influence the quality of the data.
Okay. Also about consent. You talked about consent before. So, if I ask a user to answer some question, should I collect also his consent to use that for some for those studies, or it's like no, as long as you are using the device and ask the question, it's fine. I can collect the data and I can share that with anybody, etc.
Well, I mean, the issue of the context does consent does not depend on whether the data collection is a server or not, but whether the data collection is a clinical investigation or not. So if the data collection is a clinical investigation, then one needs a patient consent. So if the specific service becomes a clinical investigation, then one also has to ask for the informed consent. In this case, since I mean it's just questions, it's just about data, the information that the patient receives is just about what their data are going to be used for, and whether that he knows how these are going to be collected and stored for how long, so that he gets this type of information, and that the patient is fine with that. There's no, nothing else that you should ask consent for, because you are not going to intervene on the patient if let's say it is a post-market survey in which you just want to get information from the patient.
Okay, great. So anything else that maybe we have to say, or some elements that we missed here?
I think the last thing, I think sometimes there is a bit of this confusion between observational studies and surveys also. So
Okay.
because they have they tend to be a bit mixed together. Often this type of actually data collection, they can also just be called observational studies. So it's the idea you just observe what's going on the market and extract then data out of it. So usually in the observational study, there is also a clinical component involved, so like a doctor, but there is a big overlap between the two. So also there, don't try not to make it into a study just by calling survey or as a trick. It's that doesn't mean much. So let's
No,
say that.
I can understand. So yeah, we have so many, if I can say, different ways or different things to look at that. Yeah, we can be confused sometimes. So it's why, yeah, it's really important to have clarity on this, and maybe to get some support also from consultants on that. So thanks for this. So Cesare, so for better devices, can you tell us more how you can help also people about maybe this or other activities?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we are regulatory and clinical experts, so we have a team of doctors and biostatisticians. If you have questions concerning how to get clinical data, how to integrate clinical data in your clinical evaluation, the relationship between the different processes and the analysis of data, please come to us and we can discuss that with you and find solution. There are so many ways. There's always a way to do things.
Exactly. And you are also offering a solution evidence, if I remember that is called.
Yes, that's for literature searches. So it's to streamline the process and forget about creating literature search protocols forever in your life. You just click and you get the document for the notified bodies. It's
That is
easy.
great. It's great. So yeah, I will put all the links on the show notes so for people to go and check all that. But yeah, so really thank you, because I think it helped a lot to understand more about surveys. And so for people that are listening, if you are using a survey, please try to follow those advices and try to make that the right way, so that you are not surprised at the end that yeah, you should have made a clinical investigation, or you should have asked for some consent or some ethical committees or whatever. So it's really important that you are clear and understand before you reach to a notified body. Otherwise, you'll have maybe some surprises there. Okay, so Cesare, thank you very much. Thanks for all the
Thanks a
information,
lot.
and I wish you a nice day.
You too, have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Monir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market.